Welcome back across space and time, literally this time, as we welcome a very special guest, Andrew Hogan from Unplanned Trek. And of course, our other special guest is Ernesto. Guys,
and look, it is actually space and time because whatever day it is for you, it's the next day for me. So I can't tell you what's going to happen in the future because of all the temporal dudes.
Oh, yeah. Those temporal police are hot to trot. And of course, we are joined by the chief.
Oh, that guy.
That guy. the chief may pop in and out because he's having some temporal issues himself. And if you're wondering, our other host, Jason Roy Gaston, is dealing with...
Unfortunately, I'm going to get a visit from temporal mechanics before this podcast is over.
Exactly. And if you're wondering, Jason Roy Gaston is handling some very personal business. His own clone prodigy were handling some salamander escapes, and he'll be returning next week. But today we are talking about, yes, we love the salamanders. We are talking about probably one of my favorite Star Trek films from the original cast, the original series films. Yes, I really enjoyed this, and watching it again reminded me of how much I enjoyed it. But we are going to hop into the very long synopsis. All right. That's Star Trek III, The Search for Spock, a.k.a. The Search for More Money. Admiral James T. Kirk has defeated his arch enemy, but at great cost. His friend Spock has been killed. The USS Enterprise is being scrapped, and the starship physician Bones has taken ill. McCoy's odd behavior is evidence that he is harboring Spock's Katra, or spirit. And Kirk seeks to take the Enterprise back to the Genesis planet and find his friend. Rebuff. Kirk takes a dramatic action that results in a war with the deadly Klingons. That is a perfect way to set it up, I believe. I don't think we need a condition movie because this is a 40-year-old movie. So we're just going to hop right into First Contact.
Thanks.
Yes, Andrew, you had no idea you were coming to such a classy show.
I had every idea.
excellent. So I'm going to start with you, our special guest. And what is your first contact or fond memories of the first time watching Star Trek: The Search for Spock, number 3?
Well, Star Trek III was the first Star Trek film I saw in the cinema.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm an old fart. the thing about it at the time was that, and this is a long time before the internet and stuff, but I did kind of think, gee, the bloody title of this film is a bit of a spoiler. Like, The Search for Spock. Do you mean the guy that died in the last movie? So unless we're just searching for his body because we're creepy, pretty obvious that he's not dead. And I just think that's fantastic that, you know, that they would like, stop it, who cares? We're just going to spoil the whole thing because
we're going to start off spoiling.
And what I didn't know was that I was going to get one of, you know, the best Klingons ever, Doc Brown from Back to the Future, who, ironically, his bird of prey became a time machine in the next movie.
Yes. Yeah, how amazing is that?
the guy just anything he's ever in is going to become a time machine. Like the guy goes and has a splash in the dunny and the toilet becomes a time machine.
So fantastic. I went into my latrine. It's a time machine, Marty.
I do not want to travel in time while I'm taking a bog. Because that's unpleasant for
wherever I am. Okay, Andrew, I am officially stealing that line. I am commandeering, taking a bog and bringing it, I'm importing it into the States. Because that is something that has to be used.
I'm going to bring you a lot of stuff that we say down here in Australia, okay?
So, awesome. I'm loving it.
I love that. I didn't, and of course, because I had not, I had not seen, this is weird, I had not seen The Wrath of Khan, but I had read the novelization of it. Mm-hmm. So I didn't get the whole Kirstie Alley Robin Curtis Savick thing. Like, yeah. I didn't know she was the second Savick. And then when I went back and watched The Wrath of Khan, back when, you know, when VCRs came out and VHS tape and shit, I remember going, hey, that's the chick from Cheers. My brain doesn't understand this. It's like, don't confuse me, because I'm Australian and we're easily confused. But I just thought it was a really enjoyable film. I thought it was a really, really fun, and it's the underrated one of all the original series films. It's more the understated, because it's the second act between Wrath of Khan and Voyage Home. And if it wasn't there, as long as they explain how they've stolen a bird of prey, you'd be all cool with it. But I actually think for that reason, it's one of the best.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. Chief.
Well, the fact that Andrew brings up the bird of prey, that is actually one of my highlights of Star Trek III, is that it introduced probably one of the best and most underrated ships in the lore, is we saw for the first time the Klingon bird of prey. And when we saw it, it was amazing that you weren't sure just how big it was, because you saw saw them coming out over the over that cargo ship, the transport ship that was transporting Valkyries. And you kind of got the hint that, you know, that this was a smaller ship, but then you see the bird of prey decloak over it, and you're like, okay, wow, just how big is this ship? And it isn't until they square off with Kirk that and then he says, you know, they outgunned me 10-1. You realize that this is a much smaller vessel, which is something. And also, the other introduction of my least favorite ship in all of Star Trek, the Ulbricht class. I can't understand.
R.I.P.
The Ulbricht makes me physically angry, because it makes absolutely no sense. And honestly, I had the same problem with the Cerritos at first, because there's no connection between the saucer and the engineering deck. What do you you would have to go into the nacelle. go down the mounting strut to get to engineering.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's a terrible design. It should have been rethought. And that's my first pet peeve of Star Trek.
We didn't even get to pros and cons. He's already like, we get into it. That ship sucks.
I actually want to Hulk out every time I think of it.
So you were in pain watching that. That's
like, when it blew up, I was so happy.
I always thought that ship looked like whoever was kitbashing it together forgot something, and at the very last minute, the visual effects guy went, you do know it needs nacelles, don't you, dickhead? And he's like, oh, gee, bloody hell, I'm in 5 minutes, I'm going to have to slap something on. So they just did it, and then went, that's fine, whatever, who cares?
It works.
Yeah, that's very Australian.
that's very American too. The Bondo, it'll work fine. I'm gonna, before I get into my little piece, I'm gonna say hello to everybody, and I'm gonna say hello to John's. Glad I made it home in time to watch this live. Hello and welcome to the Captain's Quadrant.
Welcome, sir
or madam, are entered into the Wheel of Wind, and we'll talk about that later. Of course, Cosmic Mom. Oh my God, they killed Spock. Yes.
I'm sorry, Mom. I didn't mean to give out the spoilers.
And then our good buddy, Commander Jace, another Jace. Aussie, is in the chat. Look at this.
Your fellow Aussie.
There you go.
Well, you guys got to know each other. Oh. I mean, you know, there aren't that many people in Australia.
G'day. Evening from Philadelphia.
I've got to actually tell you, Australia doesn't actually exist.
Oh, okay. Well, flat Earth.
Australia doesn't exist. It's completely made up.
Yeah.
It's completely made up. We're all played by actors. I mean, I'm currently being played by Brad Pitt right now.
There you go. Oh, that's why you look so handsome. I was like, oh, it's a handsome guy. Now I get it. Our normal host. Our normal host is in the chat somehow. Hi, Jason. This is not awkward at all.
No, not awkward.
Like I said, he's in some type of time temporal thing. He'll be popping in and out, but he couldn't be on screen with us. Greetings, gentlemen. It is a cold and rainy here, and I'm freezing, and I hate you all. He is supporting his family in a great moment outside, so he can't stand being outside.
I can relate, but Jason, you're a good man for being there for your family.
That's right. So, and then like Mr. Hogan, this was the first Trek movie he saw in theaters as well. And we all agree that The Search for Spock is the most underrated Trek film ever.
Absolutely. It absolutely is. I think part of the reason it's so underrated is because it's bookended by these two films that were so amazing.
Yeah.
Star Trek II was Star Trek II.
Yeah.
And four was, Voyage Home was, Leonard Nimoy's directorial opus. It was such an amazing film on so many levels. It was a great film and it was a great Star Trek film. So being the middle child of that, in that Brady clan, Marsha. Star Trek will always be the Jan. Thank you. I couldn't think of her name. Star Trek 3 will always be the Jan of the Star Trek movies.
Yes. Star Trek.
It'll always be the Thunderbird 1.
Thunderbird. Yes.
Cut. Yeah. Like, It sort of needs to be there, but no one gives a crap about it.
Yes. Well said. Well said. This was one of the early Star Trek films I saw. I believe Star Trek 4 was my first one in theaters. And it's always been a family affair. My mother got me into Star Trek, and I remember seeing 4 first and then going back and seeing 2, 3. So I actually watched them like a Star Wars movie, all out of order, wacky, wacky. But I absolutely loved this back then. And then I found out that the Klingon commander, Korg, and I shared a birthday. And I was like, well, this is going to be even higher on my Star Trek list. Because he and I, Mr. Christopher Lloyd himself, and I shared the exact same birthday. So we're birthday brothers, which is very
cool. I think he does have a couple of years on you, though, John.
A little bit. Mm-hmm.
Just a couple. I have a couple of years on both you guys because this was not the first Star Trek film that I saw in theaters. That honor would go to the motion picture.
Oh, wow. That's right. You're 60. Happy birthday, by the way.
Not yet. I did this myself. Okay. This was a choice.
Yeah.
But actually, the first convention that I went to was in, I believe it was 83. And they actually had a slideshow going back, just showing the technology difference 40 years ago from, Joe, we went to Star Trek Las Vegas together. Could you imagine them doing a slideshow?
Oh, no.
Of still pictures?
No.
Yeah, no, that's what they did for this. And the running gag was, they're receiving strange sensor readings.
Oh boy.
And that was the running gag. Yeah. So three will always hold a special place in my heart for so many reasons. All right, let me ask you guys something. My wife cannot watch just one. They're like Lay's potato chips. She cannot, if she wants to see two, she has to watch 2, 3, and 4 in succession. Do you know anybody else like that?
Nope.
Definitely not my wife.
Okay. Honey, you're the weirdo.
I've been married heaps of times, so I could get confused here, but I do know that, that when my current wife first came to my house for visitation and stuff, I decided it would be a really smart romantic idea to put on the motion picture. about an hour into it, where stuff all has happened, like literally nothing's happened, she's gone, this is a bit boring, you know.
Oh.
And I'm like, yeah, that was a test. You've passed the test. You now know it's boring. We can now be in love.
Yes.
Excellent.
You passed the test.
Yeah, so I can say you are a very lucky man.
She watches all three, yeah. The only Star Trek mine watched was Picard, the one where the ship was falling into the abyss and Riker sends out that message to Troy. That was the only time, and is still the only time that she would watch that. So congratulations, gentlemen. The fact that Mr. Hogan, you got that far is amazing. One of the things that I loved about this Trek was the new look of the Klingons. I absolutely love the upgrade.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the ridges on their head, the long hair, the suits. I thought it was amazing. Especially my very first entry into Star Trek itself was TOS Way to Eden. And to go from Way to Eden to that was like, whoa, this is a lot of changes here. So
you did miss one stop in between.
What's that?
In the motion picture, in the beginning of the motion picture, the cold open basically, is where you first see this. I guess they're called the next generation of Klingons with the ridges,
right?
And from what I understand, and if you see Mark Leonard, who played the Klingon commander, also played Sarek and also played the Romulan commander,
very busy man.
Very busy man, very talented actor, but the makeup
Jeffrey Combs
was very, very interesting, very, very intricate. I'm sorry, Andrew, say again?
He said Jeffrey Combs of his time.
Yes, he definitely was the first Jeffrey Combs of his day.
He was the Jeffrey Combs.
But the makeup was very, very intricate, but they all looked pretty much exactly the same. And what they wanted to do with this, with the Klingons here, they actually wanted to show that each one was different. So that's why the ridges are not as pronounced or as defined, for want of a better word, as they are in the motion picture. The uniforms are still the same.
Yeah. That,
and they kept those uniforms up until...
Discovery.
No. Discovery, they changed.
Well, Beyond, they changed them. That's right.
That's the Kelvin verse. That's
a whole other caboodle.
Yeah, we don't talk about Bruno. We don't talk about the Kelvin verse.
Oh, we like the Kelvin.
But they kept those Klingon uniforms up until, I guess, Lower Decks, because we didn't see any Klingon other than Worf. We didn't see any Klingons at Picard. So
all right, well, let's hop into the pros and cons. Yeah, let's hop into pros and cons.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
Yes, this is our fray into the good and bad of what we just saw. Yes. We have Data cursing. It's his thing. His favorite word. We'll start with the chief, who is going. I kind of interrupted there. Go for it. Your pros and cons. Star Trek 3.
The pros and cons. Well, the biggest con, of course, is the fucking old birth class. A pro for me is actually, it took me a lot of years to actually appreciate this, but Robin Curtis's performance as Savick was head and shoulders above Kirstie Alley. Yes, I say that I had the pleasure of meeting Robin at Trek Long Island last year. She's a wonderful lady, very sweet. And she was actually there with the actor who played young Spock. The first time that those two were together any place since they shot that scene.
Since the one night stand.
Yes, since the one night stand, which explains why Spock, Leonard Nimoy looked at her and she's like, oh yeah, okay.
And then my mom, of course, has to bring up, didn't Spock get laid in Star Trek 3? Yes, Mom.
Yes, Mom.
Go ahead, Chief.
Definitely another pro is that how much more of Earth, well, not Earth, but of, you know, Starbase McKinley. I believe it's still called McKinley, mm-hmm. Even though they just call it Space Dock.
Old Spock.
How much of McKinley you get to see, which was beautiful. A great cameo by Commander Rand.
Mm.
But a major, major con for me. Mm. Now I don't know who designed the costumes for Star Trek III. But if it was the same person who designed the Monster Maroons for Star Trek II, they really dropped the ball with those costumes. The Monster Maroons look great,
mm-hmm.
but that 23rd century pleather jacket that Shatner was sporting, and of course he had to have the collar popped.
Yeah.
Ugh, awful. granted, if anyone could pull off a cape, it's George Takei.
Oh, my.
Takei, excuse me. Yeah. George Takei in a cape. Oh, yeah. Of course. That's wonderful.
You know I had to take that photo.
But yeah, no, the costume design could have been a lot better.
Mm. All right, Andrew, how about you? Your pros and cons.
Okay, well, the chief has stolen my thunder because my pro was going to be George Takei's
cape. Let's look at that beautiful cape.
I mean, I just like it takes a certain sort of guy to just casually walk around with a cape on. I'm not a superhero. I don't need to wear a cape. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it because I can. And that's like, you know, that's like me now, right? You know, not wearing pants because I can.
Yeah.
Because there's no one else at home. Now, just so you know, everything I learned about Star Trek III, I learned from the Star Trek III, The Search for Spock storybook, which is a picture book. It's got like pictures in it.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. Good, because I don't read books without
pictures. I believe
pictures.
I had that. Yeah.
And I'm just going to read to you. I bought it for $1. Cost $1. It was a great value. Now, there's a scene where, and it involves Sulu as well, because, you know, you can be a pro and you can be a con, where the Enterprise is trying to find the Grissom, but they can't because it got blown up. So, yeah, it's a bit hard to find it, right? And, I shall read. Receiving no reply from the scientist, Jim grew worried. Give me a short-range scan, Mr. Chekhov, and put it on the screen. Let's have a close-up. There, said Jim, pointing to a tiny shimmering area off near a corner of the screen. Opinion, Mr. Sulu? It seems to be coming closer, Admiral. Well, the award for stating the bleeding obvious goes to Hikaru Sulu. Kirk says, I think fine. Sulu then says, I think it's an energy form of some kind, sir. Kirk blindly goes, enough energy to hide a ship, would you say? Sulu, you mean a cloaking device, sir? It's like, oh my god, yes, a cloaking device, you knob.
That's exactly what it is, guys. So
my con is that, like, that entire conversation is just so dumb. It's like, hang on, Klingons have a cloaking device. We should start with that assumption. Not we should start with there's an energy thing or a thing, and then everything becomes a thing. Yeah. But
if we wanted to get really nitpicky, wouldn't there be debris from the Grissom?
Oh, you would think so. Around?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it would be like pieces of it. No, the Grissom's kind of in pieces, sir.
I did also like.
Oh, but yeah, that beauty shot.
Oh, but just like, you know, if you're going to abduct, if you're going to like you know, steal the Enterprise, that's how you're going to do it, isn't it?
Yeah,
100%.
Absolutely. You have Nichelle Nichols throw Mr. Adventure into the closet.
I found your ship.
Yeah, there it is. You're beloved.
Hey, there it is. Yeah. You love it, man. You love it.
Yeah.
And what would be some of your cons? Do you have any cons, Andrew?
Oh, well, I've just said, you know, Sulu's dialogue sometimes a bit dodge. One of my great cons of the episode is a plot point that's actually really important, but I wish it didn't happen, and that is David dying.
Interesting. Why is that?
Well, because I just think that that he could have been such an incredibly interesting character to throw into the mix in future Star Trek films. I mean, the fact that Kirk would have to acknowledge he has a son and acknowledge that his son's pretty cool, and obviously there was going to be issues because of, you know, the fact that that he passed away in real life would have made things difficult going forward. But I just thought that the existence of David in the next few films would have changed Kirk's outlook on the universe, and that would have been nice to explore.
Very interesting.
You know, in 40 years of watching this movie, I never thought of that.
No, same here.
Andrew, that's
yeah, great point.
Kudos, man. That's a great point.
We think of
the only other time he's brought up is in Star Trek VI.
Yeah, that's the whole catalyst of that movie.
Yeah.
So that would have been
die.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, my pros is that amazing destruction of the Enterprise. I thought that was such a cool setup. And just watching it self-destruct essentially was just incredible. And then the way it had phases of exploding, which I thought was so cool. And to this day, I think it's still the big highlights of this film. And of course, I absolutely love this really in-depth look at the Bird of Prey. We got to see its wings move, so to speak. The disruptors rise up and then rise down this fire. Thought that was amazing. And of course, the Great Escape, the big heist, with everybody involved, I thought that was just fantastic. Yeah, Scotty basically disassembling the Excelsior and putting egg on the captain's face of the Excelsior. I still think that that's one of the funniest moments in Trek. He was like, all right, well, he had his little stick. We're going to go get him. Transwarp, let's go. And then I absolutely love that whole scene.
So, was it me, or did it sound like a sink backing up?
Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah. So here's a connection, guys. Basically, what Scotty did to the Excelsior was exactly the same as what the nuns did to the Nazi cars in The Sound of Music. They just ripped out the
distributor
cable.
So there's a connection.
Who will be General Chang, obviously.
Yeah.
So my wife and I fight about this all the time. I say his greatest role in Star Trek 6. And she says, what about The Sound of Music? And I say, who gives a crap about The Sound of Music?
Scotty,
thank you. I'm gonna make you watch this. She won't. I've been podcast for 11 years and she listened to exactly zero episodes. She didn't even listen to the episode that she was on.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
I will pick up one point about the Bird of Prey. It's even a very young me looked at the Bird of Prey and went, hey, if you're going to design a starship, why would you put the bridge right out the front on a long neck? And you may as well put a sign on a plane, shoot here. This is where all the big people sit. What's the neck doing? The neck's doing nothing, and it's like, I thought it's an odd design, but I'll go with you, Joe. I love the wings. I love the wings going up and down because wings have no purpose in space. But who cares?
No. Does this make sense? Absolutely not. Do you like it? Absolutely. Yes, we love it.
The long neck is a recurring design flaw of Klingon ships, you know, all the way back to the D5. and the D7. Mm. So I think whenever they designed, I think whoever designed the Bird of Prey, basically what they did, if you look at the D7 and the Bird of Prey, is basically just shrunk it and made the nacelles non-static and made them flexible with cannons. Again, I love the design. Bird of Prey is definitely one of my favorites, one of my favorite ships. But yeah, the long neck is really a design flaw.
Yeah, yeah, big time. One of the things that I absolutely love, of course, in this is some of the comedy they played with, especially with DeForest Kelly. And that Vulcan nerve pinch that he tries to give to the, I'm going to go ahead and call this guy Section 31. I thought it was hilarious. He's like, meh, 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 and it just doesn't work. And he's like, can you stop? I thought that was fantastic. One of my cons was, cons was DeForest Kelly unraveling with the Katra. I thought it was just bizarre. He's got the Gowron eyes. In most of the film, they're out once you figure out that it's him not really understanding what to do with the Katra. I thought that was kind of weird. And the other con, oh, go ahead. Yeah, yeah, you got the Gowron eyes. Yeah. Glory to you and your house. Yeah. I thought that was a little bit of weird.
What's Gowron?
Yeah, exactly. And the Klingons, I felt, were like, slapsticky here because all right, we're gonna go get the ship and we're gonna send you over there. Sir, the ship is talking to us. Talking, what is it saying? Five, four, three.
Get out of three. This.
Really? You guys fell for that? So weird.
Yeah,
that was one of my biggest cons of the film. They made him like the slapstick villains. I thought that we could have had like a long-standing villain that could have gone through a couple of movies, because he could have punked out and just got off the planet and bounced, but he literally, you know, fought to the death. And of course, that's one of my pros is fight.
Go ahead, there Andy. There is a callback to that of sorts in Star Trek First Contact, where when Lily finally convinces Picard to blow up the ship, right, because it's like pretty screwed, he makes a point of saying self-destruct, silent countdown.
Because
he doesn't want the Borg to rock the bridge and go, can you imagine a Borg drone rocking up to the bridge going, Queen, the computer's talking. Hey, what's it saying? 5, 4. Oh shit! I think we're in a lot of trouble now.
Yeah.
A silent countdown.
Yes.
Although the queen was the more sensitive a bit preoccupied.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The queen was a tad preoccupied, so I don't think she would have been on top of that. She was on top of Data. I don't think she would have been on top of that.
And of course, one of the biggest pros would be
with Data.
Yeah. She was about to do a some pon far there. My biggest pro, of course, yes. The band getting back together. It's like, you know, that time you got really, really drunk and you pass out and your friend's like, oh shit, if he dies, what are we gonna do with the body? And then you come out of the room all fine. Oh, okay, great. Yay, yeah. There he is, he's fine. So a lot of fun had in, of course.
It's every Saturday night.
It's every Saturday night. That's an Australian classic. And now it is time to fire at will.
Fire at will.
Big shout out to the Commander Jace for all of those wonderful bumpers. He makes the show look very, very pretty, including our spatial background. If you haven't noticed, the space around our space flows. The stars flow around us. It's a lot of fun.
Looks amazing.
Yeah, it looks really
cool. Jace does some incredible work.
Absolutely. And now we're going to go say hello to the folks in the chat who we haven't said hello to, including the Deagle. Yo! Hello, Deagle. You've been added to the deal. And then, of course, we got Damon J. Oh, the big guy. What's up, buddy? How you doing? Good to see you, sir. You've been added to the wheel. Now, I'm going to get into the wheel a little bit early so that folks can understand what I talk about when I say things, when you guys are saying, when I say you're being added to the wheel. This is the wheel of win, not the wheel of agony. That's another wheel. And this wheel is basically the folks that sign up, join, and comment on our show via either the Spotify or YouTube. Of course, I think your name's there. Both of you are there. Yeah. If you look close enough, is it your Nestor? You're just named Pop Thigh, and then Andrew, there's your name. So you guys have been added to the wheel. And what do you win? You win a slew of Star Trek collectibles, including a Klingon fleece. So yes, you have so many wonderful things to win. It's a lot of fun. And be sure to tell your friends because they could have their chance in the glory and bask in the win that is the wheel of win. All right. One of the things about this section of our podcast is it's a free range. One of the things that happened over the weekend is they ended the actor's strike. So now the floodgates are open for projects and things are going rapid fire, pew, 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 into the furnace. And that being said, what do we do post-discovery? Do you think with this timeline, there is enough time to get another show out aside from Lower Decks in 2024? We're going to start with Andrew.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start by saying I wish Discovery isn't ending because I just love it. I absolutely do. It is just, it is quality television. It is just one of the, and just forget Star Trek, it's one of the best TV shows I've seen. The quality of the casting, every one of those actors is so, so good at playing their character. But if we can't have that, I really can't see what, well, I know why we can't have Section 31 as a TV series, because Michelle Yeoh is too expensive now. super expensive. Yeah. But, you know, Shahzad Latif, you know, Ash Tyler absolutely would be fantastic. And remember, they offered him no longer acting head of Section 31. So I think that would, I'd like that to happen. I think Star Trek Legacy, like, you can't tell me that the final episode of Picard wasn't setting up another series.
Right.
You know, Jack's on the ship, Seven's the captain, Q. It's like, it is literally Terry Metalis just going, oh, sorry, did you say I wasn't allowed to make a pilot? I made a pilot. Sorry, oops. I accidentally made a pilot episode. Can you believe that? Yes.
Yeah.
Saturday night, one thing leads to another, and then you're making a TV pilot. So, you know, I think, yes, I'd like that. But my thing, and this is just me, and this is just an indulgence, I would love live action Lower Decks. I think that Jack Quaid and Sean Newsom alone are absolutely fantastic, but the voice cast are phenomenal. And, you know, can you imagine my introduction to Star Trek when I was a kid was actually the animated series. I didn't know that Star Trek had a live action show. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I got home from school and the animated series was on one of the TV stations. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is cool. You know, Star Trek and shit. And then one of my mates at school told me, oh, you know, there's like Star Trek that's not a cartoon. And I'm like, Benjamin, you fucking stupid idiot. Is he dead? Is he dead? And I'm like, well, there's no bloody VCRs back then, so he couldn't prove it. And then one day on a weekend, on a Saturday afternoon at 6 o'clock, not that I remember exactly, I saw an episode of live action Star Trek. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that's wow. They made a live action version of the cartoon.
Oh, wow. Because
in my mind, that's the order.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to see.
There you go. That would be amazing. I mean, Tony Newsom is currently in the writer's room for Starfleet Academy. But that doesn't mean she doesn't act. I don't think Academy can get off the ground this year, but them popping in Star Trek Strange New Worlds would be very fitting. You know, it could be another reoccurring thing. They go to another Orion, because we had that big Orion issue in Star Trek Lower Decks this season. So you can only imagine if Tandy goes into that little piece and then comes into live action and brings Boimler or Mariner with her. So that would be really cool. And it would be so cool to see a live action Lower Deck show. That would be a lot of fun, even if it's a one off, like just one season of them going through.
Exactly. Even if it's a single episode, even if it's just imagine they just make. Well, but even better, imagine if they just make next season of Lower Decks and one episode is randomly live action, and they don't mention it. They don't, the way they did it. They just, you know, episode 7 is live action.
Yeah,
and you go back to episode 8, and it's back to animation, and we never talk about it.
That would be amazing. I would love that. That's so cool. I never even thought of that. How about that?
Yeah. That is something that Mike McMahon would probably do. Yeah. So, Mike, we know you're listening. Yeah. We know you're watching the show because we know you. We know you're on the down low. You're not in the chat. Mike. But we know you watch.
Mike, the hero, Chief, fire at will.
I am looking forward to seeing how the reshoots of Disco Season 5 go. Unfortunately, we were on the Star Trek cruise with Doug earlier this year, and he was on the cruise when he got the news that Disco was canceled.
Oh,
I mean, you wanted to, and he actually broke it to us first.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, that's because Doug is just such an incredible human being.
Yeah.
You know, when I grow up, I want to be Doug Jones. He is just such an amazing person. But he said that they had to go back and do reshoots. So, you know, without giving away too much, obviously they're doing something to make the season a finale. So I'm looking forward to seeing how they handle that. Obviously, Lower Deck Season 5, because Devana is coming to take care of her sister.
Yeah, yeah.
And sure, there's no two ways about that. Okay. De'Erica is gonna learn what it means to be the mistress of the Winter Constellation.
Yeah, exactly.
Strange Worlds, I mean, probably the best Trek cliffhanger since Strange New World. Best of Both Worlds, thank you.
Yep.
What's gonna happen? Here we go. For the first time in two seasons, Captain Pike is left speechless and unsure. He knows he's gonna live, but what about everybody? He knows that Spock's gonna live, but what about everybody else?
Mm-hmm.
And all I have to say to that is, if Ortegas dies, we riot. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. yes. For me, I am really excited about
right.
Shit's on. That will be pretty amazing if we wrap up Discovery with the hope of Star Trek, Starfleet Academy, and then Discovery then ties into Section 31. So how cool will it be if they make it like a storybook, like a Star Trek 2, Star Trek 3, Star Trek 4, where Discovery ends, Section 31 movie comes, and then it ties into Starfleet Academy to give you the bookend.
Oh, yeah. Like a storybook?
Yeah, like a storybook, exactly. Exactly. So how amazing would that be? Yes, the storybook. Well,
taking your idea and going one further, Joe, obviously Section 31 is going to have operatives in Starfleet Academy.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Absolutely.
Because where else are they going to find
the best possible
agents? Right.
Yeah.
So obviously you're going to have some Section 31 presence in Starfleet Academy. I'm really glad that Tawny is writing on Section 30. Starfleet Academy. It's a show that they've teased us with for years. Back in the 90s when 90210 was at its hype, that was actually when they started talking about a Starfleet Academy.
Yeah, with Professor O'Brien.
To combat the whole teeny bopper 90210 thing.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to go in that direction because I don't.
No, let's hope not.
Yeah, with Tawny Newsom at the helm of the writers' room.
I
wouldn't think it would be that type of show. What do you think, Andrew? You think we're going to get a teeny bopper type of thing, or are we going to get some really classic Star Trek?
Look, I think that the template for a Starfleet Academy show has to be the Boys spin-off, Gen V. It took the whole let's take this universe into high school, but then let's just make it completely, utterly wrong and awful and terrible, and that would bloody work, I reckon.
That is an amazing analogy.
Yeah. Oh my god, I hope we'll have to shoot this over to Paramount. Hopefully they'll listen and start writing these things down.
Paramount have got to grab Eric.
Yeah, exactly. In the chat, we've got Kosi from the Old First Church. I always like the TOS films best. And then the Deagle is saying, do you remember where you met me? And that is at Micro Center when I was buying my new external hard drive so I can do my editing. And then Mom is wondering, hey, live action Mootsie would be fantastic. Yes. Oh. Can you imagine? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be incredible. Yeah. Good God, the 90210 caught my wife's attention from the other room. Fantastic.
Sorry, Jonas.
Yeah, Jonas, that was a lot of fun. Wow, what a great way to end the week, so to speak. It's Friday Eve, and we are amongst Star Trek friends. We're having a great time. Mr. Hogan, Andrew, tell us about Unplanned Trek and some of the things that are going on there. And if you want to hear more from the well-versed Andrew, the show notes have his information. So go ahead.
Look, thank you so much, Joe, and thanks for inviting me on. This has been like absolute fantastic fun. I'm the former host of ABC Radio podcast Nerdzilla, which you can get every episode of on the Internet Archive, archive.org. I can't remember exactly which episode it is because we went for 11 years, but my favorite episode was the interview with Will Wheaton. And he's well worth listening to.
Oh, I will definitely be checking that out.
What I currently host is Unplanned Trek. Look, Will is an absolutely great guy. Unplanned Trek is an unconventional look at old episodes of Star Trek. We don't review them. We give awards out. We give awards out for the best character and the worst character and any sex or loving and any fighting and any pets and any example of medicine. Although we're still fighting over whether we name that after the Crusher Award or the Pulaski Award. Because obviously it should be the Pulaski Award, okay?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
It's it really does need to be the Pulaski.
Not go there with my Kate. Thank you. Thank you, Chief. You are the legend. You're both legends. You can pick up Unplanned Trek anywhere you get podcasts. We are very, very soon coming under the umbrella of Treks and Trekkers. That's the organization that produces the Shuttle Pod show, I often pop up on. And we are going to turn our show into like this one, a streaming video series. So all these people who've been spending the last year listening to my voice are going to then have to see this fantastically ridiculous face.
That's fantastic. And congratulations.
Fantastic.
That's
like a lot of fun. Congratulations, man.
Yeah. And Chief, you have a show coming out. This month.
Yes, I do. Now, let's face it. we're all nerds. And our nerddom isn't just consigned to one show. So I've been dropping hints left and right, but Joe and I will be doing a podcast about a particular
yes
science fiction show.
Yes.
It is called The Council Room.
Yeah, everybody's got a TARDIS. Look at that. Yeah.
That is awesome.
That's right. That's right.
Fantastic.
That's cool.
Nice.
Yes.
Is that the Funko?
No, I don't.
That's actually it's a USB hub.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's cool. Yes, yes. So we are going
With the 60th anniversary specials dropping at the end of November, Joe and I will start our podcast, and we'll be discussing the episodes that you absolutely should definitely watch before the specials starring David Tennant and Catherine Tate, which those three specials will lead into what Russell T. Davies has come out and called it Series 1. So, yes, David Tennant is indeed the 14th Doctor. And the next Doctor, Shruti Gatwa, will be the 15th Doctor. With the premiere of Shruti's first season, they're actually calling that Series 1. So it's... I hesitate to say that they're rebooting it, because they're not really. They're continuing the story. Unlike the reboot in 2005, which Russell T. Davies was responsible for. But yeah, it's a great time to be a Doctor Who fan.
Yes, and you can find that show on TubiSeen. That show is called The Console Room, and we're going to have a lot of fun on that. TubiSeen has now reached its unbelievably 12th year in existence, and we're going to have a lot of fun there. I want to send our gracious thanks. We have a special unboxing coming tomorrow, and that unboxing is done for our friends over at the Encapsulated International. The only limit is your imagination. Yes, our sponsors for the entire season, first season of the Console Room, will be those fine folks over in England. And there's so much more to come out from there, so be sure you take a look at that. And if you're wondering about our fantastic badges, you have to go and check out the Shamel Corporation. They are responsible for some amazing work and the most powerful magnets you'll ever get in a Star Trek badge. And, of course, we have throws to our other favorite shows, including the Jason Roy Gaston channel, where Jason Roy Gaston and his furry friends discuss movies, news, play video games, and do a whole lot of fun adulting. Yes, and I do mean four furry friends. That includes the guy in the corner. And if you're wondering about the guy in the corner, he is the co-host of Pop Culture Spread. Very handsome man, dressed up all the way from Australia. So he's not that far from you, Andrew. And they are the hosts of Pop Culture Spread. Tomorrow, they'll be talking about some more madness that's been going on in the world of movies and streaming news. And of course, if you'd like to see more of me, be sure to come back here next week. Be sure to subscribe and do all those wonderful, wonderful things. We have a lot of fun talking with Ray Tesei in our Section 31 and a half show, where we have questions. And then if you have caught up to Lower Decks, make sure you go back and check out all of the episodes that we reviewed that season, the fourth season of Lower Decks, and get ready for the upcoming 100th episode, where we're going to have a very special guest, a new challenger, a new foe has appeared. And they will be joining us in the Captain's Quadrant. So very excited to have that 100th episode. I can't believe we've all made it this far. This has been exciting. Andrew, once again, thank you so much for joining us. This has been one of those moments where you'll think back and go, you know, I've been talking to this guy on the internet for quite a long time, and we should probably do something together. So live long and prosper, friends. And we will. Yeah. We've done it. We've done it. We will see you next week where we go back to the agony booth.
Affirmative.